Take out your copy of the scriptures and turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. Got a little bit of an equipment adjustment to do here. 1 John chapter 1, talking about Christmas. I'm sure you all, most of us anyway, have similar experience that Christmas is a particularly special time of year. It has become, it always has been, I would say, at some level for our family, but for our close family, it's become a very wonderful time where we spend a lot of time together. We already kind of know what we're going to do the day before Christmas and the day of Christmas, and the kids look to it every year. And we just spend time together, we play games, we'll probably make some food and things like that. It's a wonderful time for our family. Christmas also is a wonderful time to talk to people about the coming of the Savior. It's become sort of in our culture, one of those, you live here, you know what it's like. It's a time to go out and buy a whole bunch of junk that you're going to throw away in a couple of years and give it to somebody. And it's just this whole commercialized thing. It's been like that, I would say, for a long time. But it's certainly not much about Jesus. Not in our culture, anyway. And what a sad thing. We do live in a fallen world, don't we? Where much of what is important, what is real, is lost and twisted and perverted. Christmas. What is Christmas all about? Well, the base level certainly is just about the coming of Jesus Christ. We celebrate and remember that God took on flesh and came in the way that he did. But it is so much more. It is such a deep and wonderful thing that we remember this time of year. I invite you to pray with me, and we'll just sort of start digging in to John chapter 1 John chapter 1. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you once again for your grace in this day. And as we gather together with our families, as we remember that Jesus came, many of us will celebrate that fact together. Many of us won't. And many of us will be around relatives who not only don't know you, but are opposed to you, as we very much will be even tonight. And we just thank you for the truth, God, that Christ has come and freed us from our greatest need. And that he was willing to come and live the life that he lived and suffer and die in our place. We are supremely thankful. God, focus our attention on some of the things that we don't think about as much around Christmas time from 1 John today. Help us to understand what you are doing in sending Christ. God, encourage us, stir us up, God, with holy affection for you. Certainly is our intent today. God, may our love for you boil out of our hearts and overflow with joy and love for others, even this afternoon. And God, may we just pray that you would direct needy people into our lives that we can share the beautiful, freeing truth of Christ with. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas time. It's not hard to understand that Christmas is about fellowship at some level, right? We get together with people, with others, and even unbelievers would understand that point, that Christmas at some level is about getting together, fellowship, getting your family and all of that. Jacob and I watched a Christmas movie that we hadn't seen yesterday or a couple of days. It wasn't yesterday. It must have been a couple of days ago. And it was okay. You know, when you watch a movie and it's not really that foul, you've done something today, right? It just seems like there's so much foulness in our culture today. But it was okay. But the whole point of it was that you need to be nice. That's what Christmas is. You need to be nice. And once you're nice, then you'll feel good about yourself and others will be nice back and things like that, which is fine, whatever, right? But that really is not anything to do with the real Christmas message, right? It's nothing to do with that. Christmas is about fellowship. As we think about 1 John, I'd like you to think about that. God sent his Son in the flesh. God became flesh. He sent his Son for us to die for us. Why? Well, the first thing that we would see is that God demonstrated love by sending Jesus. Love and fellowship. True fellowship is all about love. It really is. You can't really have real fellowship without love. You can't have deep, true, intimate fellowship unless there is love exchanged there. God demonstrated his love by sending Jesus. In Wednesday night, we've been studying, we're memorizing the book of John, the chapter of John 3, and we're up to 17 now. And we'll start the other half in the spring, memorizing that as families. And we're all familiar with John 3:16 this morning, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, right? That is the ultimate act of love. God gave his only son. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal or everlasting life. God demonstrated his love. Love is primarily demonstrated. And as we think about this idea of Christmas being about fellowship, I'd like you to think about what Jesus did. Just meditate on it a little bit this morning. Jesus, and we're familiar with these things. It's not anything that we're learning necessarily, but it's good to be reminded. Think about it, that Jesus was in perfection in heaven. There was no sin. There was nothing he lacked. He was worshipped by all the angels constantly. He was having perfect fellowship with his Father in heaven. He certainly didn't have any of the nastiness that we have here in his presence. And he gave that up. I remember I was talking with someone several years ago about Jesus. And he said, well, he knew he was going to rise from the dead. Whoop-de-doo. So he went to the cross. He knew he was going to rise from the dead. that's hard-hearted, right? And I said, well, we have no idea humanly what it was like for Jesus to leave heaven. And even more than that, we have no idea what it was like as he hung on that cross and became sin. And the perfect fellowship that he had with the Father was severed for the first time in all of eternity. Wow. You see, it's a little different than what this young man was making it out to be. Jesus gave up heaven to come for us. Think of where he came. So he left that beauty, that perfection. You know, Eden for us is the ideal, right? God made a perfect place for people to be at Eden, and then we rejected him and had to be removed from Eden in Adam. Heaven is even more, isn't it? The spiritual realm of total perfection where God and all the angels are. Jesus left that to come here, right? How was your week? Messed up, probably, at some level, right? This world is messed up. There is such evil in this world. I don't get it when people say in one breath that people are basically good and then watch the news 5 minutes later. It just doesn't make any sense. This world is broken. The evil. Can we say that? The evil that is in this world. It's stunning. The lengths and the depths that people will go to. It's crazy. This is the world, the broken mess that Jesus came to. All right? Let that sink down into your person. And I mean, I may say this more times than I should today, but would you do that? You know, really? If you were in heaven and, hey, go to this mess. Right? Right? That's what he did. He came to a broken world. Then, on top of that, think of how he came. What would you have done? I would have come and been made emperor of the Roman Empire, right? Right? Hey, I'm king already. Put me in charge. That's not what he did. He came to Israel. No one cared about Israel at that point. He came to Nazareth. Really? Bethlehem? Really? He came to be born into a family with nothing in unlikely circumstances? Wow, that's how he came, so humble. And then, as we've been studying in Mark, think about how he was treated. That helps me a lot, because sometimes life is hard and sometimes ministry is hard. And you think about Jesus' earthly ministry. You know, it's good to study some of those prophets like Jeremiah and see how their ministry was difficult. Think about Jesus. You know, boy, people rejected him all the time. People were using him, sucking him dry all the time, weren't they? clinging on him, yammering after his attention, wanting stuff from him, wanting him to fill their little petty needs and solve their little squabbles and family problems and all that all the time. And then just outright rejecting him. And then think about, as we talked about over the last couple of weeks, all the betrayals that he suffered, all the things that he had to go through, even that horror of the cross. This is the love of God demonstrated. God demonstrated a commitment level to his creation, you and I, those of us that know him, we can say for certain. God demonstrated a commitment level to his creation that is beyond human ability to fathom. The Creator has demonstrated to us a love that we can only know through him, and even then we don't know the depth of it as people. We just don't. We have limits. I love Romans chapter 8 as it talks about the commitment level of God. And this is just a beautiful truth for us to live in every day. Romans 8:31. What shall we say to these things? He's just talking about the redemption that we have in Christ. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? When the talking heads of your world or your experience or your emotions are speaking lies into your life, remember that. What can we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? No one else even matters. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. Wow. And more than that, was raised. Who is at the right hand of God interceding for us. God has demonstrated his love in an amazing depth of commitment to us as his creation. Christmas is about fellowship. God demonstrated not only his love, but his relational nature then. This is God. We see who God is in the sending of Jesus Christ. We know more about his character and who he is as a person. Now, read with me John 1, 1 John chapter 1, as I ask you to turn there. And by the way, if you've memorized this, good job. We'll probably recite this in January together as a church, and so be brushing up on that on a Sunday morning. But notice this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Notice how personal and relational those words are from John. These are not just empty truths on a page. This is a testimony of a relationship with Jesus. That which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which we have touched with our hands. His words were personal. He lived with Jesus. He loved Jesus. He touched Jesus. He knew Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He spent time with Jesus. Jesus had personally invested in his life. There was a personal relationship there, and this is his testimony to that. There's an incredibly relational aspect of Christmas. God could have done redemption, if you will, his redemptive plan. He could have saved mankind. in a lot of different ways. He is ultimately the authority. He could have chosen many different things he could have done. But what he did was he chose to show us who he is, a relational God. He's not just a God far off, is he? He's not just a God who sat up in heaven and decreed things and sent angels and did this and did that and directed things. Or like some would tell you that he just made this mess and then checked out. He is a God involved. He is a powerful, mighty, holy, other, all-powerful God that is directly involved in the brokenness of his creation. He demonstrated that by sending Jesus. There's an incredibly relational aspect of Jesus. It is the coming of God himself in the form of Christ to get involved. To get involved in our need. And it's not that God sat up from heaven from his throne and said, "What a mess. What a mess. Somebody better do something about it." Right? That's what people do, right? Boy, somebody better do something about that. I get those calls all the time. You know, someone should. Okay, you should. That's my answer. You do it. Somebody should. Boy, somebody needs to take care of. Somebody better. That's not what God did. God got involved. He saw our need. He didn't send angels. He didn't change things from heaven. He entered into our mess. He got his hands and feet dirty in the brokenness of this world, didn't he? He came. He took on flesh. He walked with us. He lived with us. Incredibly relational. He got involved. Christmas is about restoring fellowship. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It was restoring fellowship with us, having a relationship with our Creator, that your joy may be complete, John said. God is an incredibly relational God. When you think about the coming of Jesus and the coming into our world, the experience that we have in this brokenness, we're reminded that it's our fault. We broke it. God made it perfect, and we broke it, and he came to fix it. This is the message in 5 that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Think about how important that is. God, who is light, who is sinless, and who was in heaven in a place where there is no sin, came into a mess that we broke, into a world filled with sin. In him is light. There's no darkness at all in him, and he came anyway into this place. I tell you what, believer today, that puts this world into perspective. I mean, when you feel like you can't go there because those people are just so nasty, you could never talk to that person because they're so wicked or whatever, that's not the attitude that your Savior had. He went right in where we had need, right in where the sinners lived and ministered. He's holy. We're not. I wrote this. I don't know if it's worth saying, but I got to say it because I wrote it. It's my policy. God coming to this world would be a lot like all of us lining up today and going to jump into the sewer, only much worse. Would you be willing to do that? I don't want to. You know, I've been knee-deep in sewage before. That was my job. One of my funnest things was we used to get a lot of young guys to help us, and there was a kid, he was 18, and he was having a lot of problems in life, and someone had done what they shouldn't have done. We told them not to use the restrooms, and they did. And someone had cut a pipe, and so we were repairing it. And so we were up. My boots were this high, and we were this high in sewage. And I looked over, and I said, "Son, this is why you go to college." He was not edified. He didn't think it was as funny as I did. You got to have fun, right, when you're knee-deep in sewage? Much like you jumping into the sewer. That's what your Creator experienced for you. That's how committed he was. That's how much he desired to restore the relationship that we had broken. That's awesome. That's a commitment level. Jesus came as he came on that Christmas morning, as he was born in the form of a man, leaving the joys and glories of heaven. He had a mission. We've talked about that in Mark. He had a mission. And one slice of that that we want to consider today is his mission of restoring the fellowship with his creatures. Jesus' goal was so much higher than giving each of us a ticket to heaven or from sparing us from hell. It was that. We're thankful for that, right? Amen. We don't have to look down the barrel of hell the rest of our life. He was sparing us from that and from the penalty of death. But Jesus came not only for that, but to give us new life. New life. Life eternal. Something completely different than our experience. Restored fellowship with him. He was coming so that we could be born again. Think about it. You came into this world inheriting a sin nature from Adam. And then you lived that out and rejected the things of your God. You sinned. You've sinned. You've done things that you know you shouldn't, and you haven't done things that you know you should. You've broken God's law. You've ruined it. At that point, your life is over. You're dead. You deserve hell. You deserve nothing good in this life and an eternity in hell. You've ruined it. You need a second chance, don't you? You need to be born again. And God gave you that opportunity to be born again. Think about how beautiful and rich that is. That was the mission of Jesus, so that you could be born again. When you were born into your human family. Your parents took you home and took care of you. When you're born again, you are born into God's family. It starts a relationship with him. You become his child. And then you have that relationship of child and father. He loves you. And he desires for you to know him more and more every day. It's a wonderful thing. Restoration of the fellowship was what Jesus was all about. Did you know that? Isn't that rich? It's not just some thing. Isn't that a cheap lie in our world today? Well, you can get heaven and avoid hell. Now do whatever you want. That's a ripoff. That's not the life that Jesus came to save you to. He came to save you to himself. A rich life, a growing life of knowing him, of serving him, of glorifying him, of him making himself known to you more and every day. Wow. Restoration of the fellowship. Jesus frees us from the condemnation of sin, from the blood guilt of what we have done. He frees us. That he frees us to himself. Wow, what a God. He frees us for himself. He frees us so that we can freely and openly live for him and live with him. To love him and to know him and to grow. To enjoy him and glorify him. That's our mission. Jesus came to rescue us and to save us and deliver him to us, deliver him us to himself. Our new mission then is to glorify him and live for him. And you know what? There's a reason that that's our mission. Because that's what we're going to be doing all of eternity. Enjoying him and glorifying him all of eternity. It's good to get started right now, amen? Get started right now. Enjoying him and living for him, glorifying him in this world. Our eternal mission. The Great Commission, go into all the world, make disciples of all people, right? That's our mission. Nope. What? You can't say that in a Baptist church. That's not our mission. Our mission is to enjoy and glorify God. One part of that is sharing the truth with people, sharing the gospel with people. Why? Well, because I have to, because pastor told me to. Well, then don't do it. Stay at home. Watch TV. Do it because you love people and you want to glorify God. That'll get you fired up, all right? Amen? That'll get you fired up. I want God to be known, this God that knows me, that I love. I want others to know about it. I want to share that truth. I want to make much of Christ in my life. That's our mission. That's our eternal mission. Our response then today, a few things. Our response to this truth in John, in 1 John. The first one is to enter into a relationship with him. enter into restored fellowship with your Creator. You know, I don't know everyone's heart here. And as far as I know, I would be fairly certain that everyone knows Christ as Savior. But if you don't, or if you're wrestling with that, think about it today. Enter into a relationship with Him. Let what Jesus did for you on the cross become real in your life. Accept His gift of salvation. John calls it fellowship in 1 John chapter 1. The fellowship being restored. It's a relationship that you enter into as a Christian. Remember that today. Remember, it's a relationship of love. It's a relationship of love, growing and changing, becoming more like Him. Maybe today your response has something to do with some of the darkness in your own life. 6 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We meet a lot of people in biblical counseling who don't look like believers. Are they? I'm going to answer that for you right now. You ready? This is exciting. I have no idea. That's between each person and God. But I tell you what, if your life looks like it's dedicated to darkness, maybe you don't have a relationship with Him at all. But I'm convinced in myself, as much as that matters or is worth anything, there are many Christians who walk in darkness. They have a relationship with the Lord, but they walk in darkness. They're upside down in some area of their life and need some help getting turned around. Maybe you're there today. Maybe there's something we call a life-dominating sin active in your life. In that sense, you are walking in darkness. You're hiding. You have to, by the way, don't you? You have to hide that if you're given over to sin. You wouldn't let any other brothers and sisters in Christ know about it. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. God wants to restore the fellowship with you today. He wants you to get those things out in the light and deal with them. The good news for you today, that is, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen. We all have an aspect of darkness in us, don't we? From the fall. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Our response today, draw near to God, love Him, know Him, make much of Him. Make serving Him your number one goal. God is a relational God. He made us to be relational. Did you notice that about life? Life is all about relationships. It's all about interactions with each other and with Him. That's how God's designed it to work. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Notice that. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. There's that two sides of life that Jesus told us about. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor like yourself. It's about fellowship with the Father. Life is about fellowship with the Father and fellowship with one another. A restored relationship with God means you will have a restored relationship with other people. We have fellowship with one another as we walk in the light together, as we are open with one another, as we are honest with one another. This Christmas, as we think about the lengths that God went to in restoring and letting us relate to Him, committing to us, and being relational with us, let's commit together to grow in our relationship with Him. Let's restore and grow in our relationship with others. And let's praise God together for His amazing gift of Jesus Christ. As you gather as a family, rejoice in what Christ has done in coming for you. Rejoice in what He has offered and given to you, a new family, a new hope, a new home, a new future. And then I have to do this because this is just where I'm at in life right now. Tell somebody about it. Man, believer, stop hoarding up the truth for yourself. Let's get fired up about this Jesus we confess, we believe. Let's tell somebody, let's help, let's get involved. That's what God did. He took action. Christian, today, should we do any less? When you see someone out shopping and being filled with the things of the world, speak a word. See if God will use that. He will. When you're out enjoying a meal with your family, pray together, praise God, whatever. Draw attention to your Creator this season, because our culture is not going to. They're going to rip the Christmas tree, which is such a great Christ symbol anyway, off of the courtyard or whatever, just because it has something to do with Christ. This is our job and our mission, to glorify God by making Him known in this world and what He has done. Before we pray, I have a quick plug. I've got 3 books this time. This makes it easier for you to get one. Okay, I have 3 books. I would like to challenge everyone in this room to come and see me and get one. You don't have to. It's a challenge. It's not the law. Thus saith Pastor Troy. I need a chapter like that in the Bible. It'd be really bad. I'd like to challenge you to come get one and commit to talk to someone and give them one of these today. You don't have to say much, but you just have to say something about Jesus or eternity or heaven or something like that that points them to the truth of Jesus Christ and give them one. If you'd be willing to do that, I'd be overjoyed. All right, that's all it's worth. I would be overjoyed. It's not much. Think about it, though. Commit to do that today. One person, if every one of us in this room would share some fit word with someone this season and give them a book, what difference could God use that in? You have no idea. Let's pray together. God, thank you for the restored fellowship that we have in Christ. Thank you for the testimony of John recounting his joy in living with you in the physical world, seeing you, touching you, hearing from you, living with you, as we saw in your word, reclining on you at dinner. Man, God, we know that we have the same relationship with you today, but we're human, and it doesn't feel necessarily the same every day. God, help us as we live by faith and we trust that one day we can have that exact experience when we see you face to face. Because our fellowship is restored in Christ. We're so thankful for that. God, use this time of the year to remind us of what life is all about. Restore our fire for you and your glory. God, give us a compassionate heart and override our fear of man and our comfort that we don't want to step out and just say something about Jesus. And maybe even in the most uncomfortable place, our own inner family, that we would talk with them. And God, we pray for a clear, easy, open door for us in our weakness, God, to speak the truth in love. And God, may we, certainly as your people, glorify you greatly this season. In Jesus' name.